Chapter 43. Unknown to anyone, Lucien Wilbanks and Judge News struck a deal in the hectic hours before the arrest. The judge was worried about what might happen if Danny Padgett chose to retreat into the safety of the island, or worse, resist the arrest with force. The county was a powder keg waiting for a match. The cops were ready for blood because of Teddy Ray and Travis, whose gunslinging stupidity was being temporarily ignored while they recovered from their wounds. And Maxine Root came from a notoriously rough family of loggers, a large, fierce clan known to hunt year-round, live off their land, and leave no grudge unchallenged. Lucien appreciated the situation. He agreed to deliver his client on one condition. He wanted an immediate bail hearing. He had at least a dozen witnesses who were willing to provide airtight alibis for Danny, and Lucien wanted the folks in Clanton to hear their testimony. He truly believed that someone else was behind the killings, and it was important to convince the town. Lucien was also 1 month away from being disbarred in an unrelated mess. He knew the end was coming, and the bail hearing would be his last performance. Noose agreed to the hearing and set it for 10 a.m. the next day, July 3rd. In a scene eerily reminiscent of one 9 years earlier, Danny Padgett once again packed the Ford County Courthouse. It was a hostile crowd, anxious to get a look at him, hopeful that he might be strung up on the spot. Maxine Root's family arrived early and sat near the front. They were angry, thick-chested, bearded men in overalls. They frightened me, and we were ostensibly on the same side. Maxine was reported to be resting well and expected home in a few days. The Ruffins had little to do that morning, so the excitement at the courthouse could not be missed. Miss Callie herself insisted on arriving early and getting a good seat. She was happy to be downtown again. She wore a Sunday dress and delighted in sitting in such a public gathering, surrounded by her family. The reports from the hospital in Memphis were mixed. Teddy Ray had been sewn together and was recuperating. Travis had had a rough night, and there was much concern about saving his arm. Their comrades were in the courtroom in full force, waiting for another chance to scowl at the bomb maker. I saw Mr. and Mrs. Farguson sitting in the rear, two rows from the back, and I couldn't begin to comprehend what they were thinking. There were no Padgetts present. They had enough sense to stay clear of the courtroom. The sight of one of them would have touched off a riot. Harry Rex whispered that they were huddled together upstairs in the jury room with the door locked. We never saw them. Rufus Buckley arrived with his entourage to represent the state of Mississippi. One advantage in selling the Times was that I would never be forced to spend time with him. He was arrogant and pompous, and everything he did was designed to get him to the governor's office. As I waited and watched the courtroom fill up, I realized it was the last time I would cover such a proceeding for the Times. I found no sadness in that. I had mentally checked out, mentally spent some of the money. And now that Danny was in custody, I was even more anxious to escape Clanton and go see the world. There would be a trial in a few months, another Danny Padgett circus, but I doubted seriously if it would be held in Ford County. I didn't care. It would be a story for someone else. At 10 a.m., all seats were filled and a thick row of spectators lined the walls. 15 minutes later, there was a shuffle behind the bench, a door opened, and Lucien Wilbanks emerged. It had the feel of a sporting event. He was a player. We all wanted to boo. Two bailiffs quickly followed him, and one announced, "All rise for the court." Judge Noose ambled forth in his black robe and sat on his throne. "Please be seated," he said into the microphone. He surveyed the crowd and seemed astonished at the number of us out there. He nodded, a side door opened, and Danny Padgett, handcuffed, shackled at the ankles, and sporting the orange jail jumpsuit he had worn before, was led in by three deputies. It took a few minutes to unlock him from his various restraints, and when he was finally free, he leaned over and whispered something to Lucien. "This is a bail hearing," Noose announced, and the courtroom was still and quiet. There's no reason why it cannot be handled judiciously and briefly. It would be much briefer than anyone anticipated.